Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 53, verses 1-9. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their face, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 1-15. And we will see and hear that reading in a slightly different way than we normally do. So I invite all the participants to come forward and do what you do.
After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was drawing, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look for the tomb. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. As the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like a lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid that they trembled and became like a dead man. The angel spoke to the woman.
You must not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples. He has been raised from death, and now he's going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I've told you.
So they left the tomb in a hurry, and after yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them.
Peace be with you.
Yeah. They came up to him, told and hold his feet and worship him.
Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.
When the women went on their way, some of the soldiers guarding the tomb went back to the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. The chief priests met with the elders and made their plan. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said,
"You want to say that his disciples came during the night and stole his body while you were asleep. And if the governor should hear of this, we will convince him that you are innocent. You will have nothing to worry about."
The guards took the money and did what they were told to do. And so the priest, and so that is the report spread around by the Jews and to this very day. The 11 disciples went to the hill of Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, even though some of them thought Jesus drew near and said to them,
"I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age."
What happens when different people tell the story of an event or of an experience they have seen? What happens when different people have experienced something and tell you about it? You can talk to me. Please talk to me. They highlight different bits of the story. Yes. Why do you think that happens? So, when I ask you, what did you see this morning when you came into the church? And I ask three or four different people, there will be three or four different answers. Why do you think that happens? Sorry? We see different things. Why do we see different things? You have to shout. There's this organ here blowing all sorts of noise behind me. Absolutely, of course, yes. And one of the other things is, of course, that we all have different learning styles. Yes, some of you here are teachers, so you know this. We have different learning styles, and we all pick up different things. And I sometimes think if it was a little bit like that with the resurrection, because for one thing is for sure, that with the resurrection of Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, it engaged all the senses of the people who had something to do with it shortly after and found out about it. It was, of course, the most powerful thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. But it was as if God wanted to make sure that people would remember as much as possible about it, as many different details as can be. And of course, we see that that has happened in the different stories we read in the different accounts of the Gospels. All of them highlight slightly different aspects of the story. And so we see there is an earthquake. There is bright light from angels, like lightning. There is a huge power in the earthquake and in the rolling back of the stone. There is a sense of smell probably involved when the women are invited to come and see where he lay. There is probably a kind of feeling of coolness in the tomb, maybe a smell of, I don't know, when you get into a sort of grotto, there is a certain smell there. And perhaps there is a feeling of coming from the warmth into the cold, and the whole idea of this first morning, maybe the sun was just rising, maybe it was still dark. We don't know what the time was when the women went to their grave. But there is all this sensation of feeling and hearing and sensing, and everything is just involved in the story. But when we read the account of Matthew, like we just had, there is this one little sentence that stands out for me. And it is this: when the angel has told the women what has happened, he says, "Now I have told you." This very simple little sentence. He tells them Jesus is alive, he is no longer here, he has been raised from the dead, just as he told you. Go and tell, now I have told you. It's almost like ticking off his or her to-do list. Like the angel thought, my part is done. It's over to you now. The ball is now in your court. And of course, to some extent, that was indeed the case. The angel had told the women what had happened, and now it was up to them to tell the disciples. It was up to them to now tell his friends, he is not here, he is no longer in the grave, he has risen just as he said. And I wonder how the women must have felt. Of course, we read it, you know, they were afraid, they ran, they went on their way. But how would they have really, really felt to have been given this message and say, now go and tell the disciples? And remember, these were women in that time who had to go and tell a bunch of men something that was truly pretty unbelievable. It had never happened before in the way that it happened with Jesus. This was something so new, so terrifying in a way, that they could hardly find words for it, I imagine. Surely they must have thought when they went on their way of the possibility of saying this to the disciples and for the disciples to laugh in their face, to declare them absolutely crazy, and whatever else they possibly could have said. And of course, we read in the account of Mark that the women were so terrified that they never even told anyone. Luckily enough for us, in the end, they must have told someone, because this is how we know. But it does show us that from the very first moment of the resurrection, followers of Jesus have always had to make the choice what to do with this little sentence, now I have told you. For once we have been told that Jesus is alive, once we know that he is risen from the dead, there is a response required from us, from our side. And what will we do? The choice is ours. And in our time and our days, we have become incredibly practical and politically correct. We had a discussion about this the other day in the Breakfast Club when we are looking at the Book of Acts. And we're studying that and we're discussing it. And we were talking about it then, that, you know, we are so politically correct in our days. And we try to make sure that we do not offend anybody. And so one of the popular ways of showing God's love and Jesus' love for others is for us to do acts of kindness to other people, to be socially involved, and to work hard for justice and peace in society, and for it to be established in our world. And of course, that is great and is absolutely necessary. But at some point, words need to be used. Sentences need to be spoken. And the truth needs to be declared. For if the angel had not clearly said to the women that Jesus was risen, just as he had said, they would never have known. The earthquake, the angel, even the empty tomb would not have made it clear to them. And they would have ended up playing some sort of distorted version of, how do you call it, charades or something, where, you know, people are miming all kinds of stuff and you have to guess what is actually going on. The women would never have known because it is beyond our understanding, beyond our wildest dream and imagination. And because it had never happened before. I know Jesus raised people from the dead, but this was something so unknown, and still is something so unknown. And it is still the same today. Our kind deeds and our friendships that we grow may be earth-shattering for the people whose lives we touch with it. But unless we speak the words that Jesus is alive today, for real, people will not know. How would they? How would people know that Jesus has risen from the dead? They cannot deduct this truth from our acts of kindness. How would they know the stories about Jesus? How would they know that Jesus died to set them free? That his message is one of peace and forgiveness, of reconciliation and of love. That his is a life and a message that brings us back to God, to a God who loves us so much that he gave everything for us. And they do not see that in our world today. When they look around to everything that happens in the world, they cannot make up that this is what God has done for us. If anything, they see the opposite. It is impossible for them to come to that conclusion by themselves. And as our witness has grown into something that is palatable to everyone, it has also become something that is not able to save anyone. We, all of us here, who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, have been entrusted with the message that he is alive. Just as he said, And that makes everything that he said true. It makes it true that he has come for the forgiveness of many. It makes it true that whoever believes in him has eternal life. It makes it true that he is the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through him. We are often worried about looking silly, about feeling a little bit embarrassed, about being labeled offensive or perhaps even radical, of being politically incorrect. But I'm asking you, how silly and embarrassed will the women have felt? How dangerous was it for them to take the message out to others? How difficult was it further on for the disciples to take that message out? There will always be opposition to the gospel. There always will be. And it was so from the very first day. The day wasn't over yet, the first day of the resurrection, and there was already opposition to the gospel. And you know who the first were? The religious leaders. The religious leaders of the time were the very first ones who opposed the truth of the gospel. Those who should have known. And there was lying, and there was scheming, and there was the twisting of the facts already then, that same day. Why should we expect it to be different in our time? The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Jesus said it when he met them, "Do not be afraid. I will go before you." We find that phrase in the Bible again and again. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Do not be afraid. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. I will be with you until the end of time. We have a message of hope to bring the world. We have a message of forgiveness and of love beyond anything that we have ever imagined. We have a message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that gives us hope for a future. That gives us hope that is far, far more than anything in this world can ever give us. Jesus is not in the grave. He is alive. Just as he said, come and see. Then go quickly and tell others this great news. He has risen from the dead. Now I have told you. Amen.